Napoleonic era, the years after Napoleon's return to France. St. Helena, 1841 to 1870, part 3. Now, when we left off, Monsieur Meslin and his group had finished putting a plaque in the area where the tomb had been, but they still had work to do. A deep trench lined with dry stones had been dug around the grave to divert the water that was infiltrating it from the spring, and this was to ensure that the new masonry would resist the test of time. On December the 20th, 1859, a stone had been removed to be sent to the United States government, who wanted to embed it in the pedestal at the monument of George Washington that was being erected Federal Capitol. Would be a silent and solemn witness, declared the American consul, to the importance of that friendship between two nations, which began with our origins and has united us until the present day like a golden chain. I would point out this is very appropriate, too, because Napoleon was an admirer of George Washington. Actually, at the Siege of Toulon, used the tactics that Washington had to remove the British Navy from Boston Harbor to get rid of the British Navy out of Toulon's harbor. So it was very appropriate. The landscape, alas, had changed since 1821. 12 cypresses planted about 1830 by Lady Dallas, the wife of a governor, stifled the original willows. And as the domain was shut off from the animals by a fence, the trees just grew everywhere and transformed the valley into a forest. In January of 1861, before returning to France, Meslin handed over the restored estate to the major. The work had cost 163,000 francs, and if the reconstitution was incomplete, it had at least put a full stop to the humiliating state of affairs. Sergeant Moreau and Sapper Montagnardet were about to marry girls from the island who were respectfully appointed guardians of Longwood and the tomb, with salaries of 4,000 and 3,000 francs a year. They wore a uniform when receiving visitors, who were numerous at the time, because the Suez Canal was not yet in use. The major was installed in New Longwood, that was never occupied by Napoleon, and only wore his uniform of officer of the imperial residence to receive people of importance, such as Queen Victoria's son, Prince Alfred, or Admiral Sir Charles Elliot, appointed governor of the colony in 1863. When making his formal visit on arrival, the latter drew the major aside to a corner of the park, suddenly stopped and said, quote, "It was here, in 1819 or 20, when I was a midshipman on a passing vessel, that I saw your emperor walking in his little garden," end of quote. French sailors and soldiers returning from China used to climb the dusty road behind their officer and gather around the stone while the Waterloo veteran told them about the man who had led their fathers to victory. "Look well at everything around you, so that you can tell them at home that someone who had all the kings of Europe at his feet for 20 years under a grass-covered grave." On September the 13th, 1861, Abbe Condé, chaplain of the battleship Le Saon, commanded by Lieutenant Calos and returning from Cochin China and Reunion, blessed the reclosed tomb and restored house in the presence of 150 men of the French Navy and the Marines. In August, the custodian had sent the original fence that had enclosed the tomb, as well as the leaden basin from Longwood Gardens, to the harbor master at Brest to be forwarded to Napoleon III. After 9 years on the island, the old officer started home to take the waters in France in 1867. But he was destined never to return to the plateau of Longwood, where enthusiasm and faith had supported him and kept him company. He found Paris caught up in a whirl of the Second Universal Exhibition. Sovereigns were cantering beside Napoleon III, among them William of Prussia, future conqueror of the French at Sedan. The capital was given over to official festivities. Soon afterwards came the opening of the Suez Canal. But all the chancelleries of Europe knew that the star of the empire was waning, for there were menacing clouds hanging over the Rhine, and by becoming a liberal to meet France's wishes, the emperor was only hastening his doom. In November of 1868, an unknown young attorney called Gambetta, who was defending the editor of the magazine Revel against the charge of opening a subscription for a monument in memory of Baudin, who had died in the barricades on December of 1851, launched into a violent attack on the regime in open court. And then others, such as Thiers, would declare at the tribune of the Legislative Assembly that there was no fault left uncommitted. Ultimately, as the emperor, new emperor, Napoleon III's popularity waned, he came up with an idea that a successful quick war against Prussia would restore him the power and popularity. Otto von Bismarck believed that a successful war against France, quick one, would lead to the final unification of Germany. And so the maneuvering around to get the cause of the Franco-Prussian War began. Ultimately, the French declared war on the Prussians, and the Prussians soundly defeated the French. And then you have the final battle. Well, it's really the end of Napoleon III, because the war continued on for a few more months until Paris surrendered. And then after that, there was still issues with parts of the country and the commune before everything is straightened out and the Third Republic is put in place. But ultimately, Napoleon III being captured with a large portion of the French army at the Battle of Sedan was the end of Napoleon III. He'll be forced to leave and goes into exile in England with Eugenie and the rest of the family. And a republic is put back in place. It's the Third Republic. Prussia creates modern Germany. So Otto von Bismarck was correct. But as far as St. Helena is concerned, now this, on July the 12th, 1880, Sergeant Merleroux, who was one of the gentlemen still on the island, saw a little procession arriving in the Valley of the Tomb. It was led by the governor, Hudson Jenich, who's actually the son of Sir Hudson Lowe's former secretary. The lady in black, whom he was addressing so respectfully, was none other than Empress Eugenie, Napoleon III's wife, who was on her way home from Transvaal after praying at the place where her son had been massacred by the Zulus. Her suite, General and Lady Wood, Captain Slade and Captains Biggs, friends of Prince Louis, the Marquis of Bassano, and Dr. Scott, stepped tactfully aside when she approached the iron gate and remained wrapped in prayer with closed eyes before looking about her at the austere landscape, apparently designed to surround the tomb of a titan. She exchanged a few words with the French guard and his wife, and then went on to Longwood, whose empty rooms and tangled garden seemed to her to have a melancholy beauty. She asked Janet several questions about the legal status of the domains, which she believed were the property of her family, and she smiled when he told her that the terms of their succession to Napoleon III and his heirs, without reference to his successors, might be understood to mean that they were to be possessed by the family rather than the nation. She took some refreshment at the pavilion at the Briars, accepted an album of photographs of the island from the governor, and gave audience to several ladies before returning to the mail boat Trojan, on which she was a passenger. She had wanted to visit St. Helena for a long time, she confided, but in the company of her unfortunate son. She had come alone, alas, and doubly in mourning, to bring the homage of the Bonaparte family to this land of exile. Now, as I've said before, after the end of Napoleon III's Second Empire, the French Third Republic takes over. So now we're going to see what happens on St. Helena all the way from the time of the Third Republic to modern times. Now, the sources for this, Napoleon's Last Journey by Martineau, Funeral de Emperor Napoleon by Lange, Le Culte de Napoleon by Louis Berberton, and The Second Funeral of Napoleon by Thackeray. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the merchandise, and as always, thank you very much.